Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 11th chapter of Hilchos Trumos. In this Perek, I will discuss how one should use Truma. Halacha Aleph. HaTruma nitenes b'achila l'shtia b'sicha. Truma is able to be used for eating, drinking, and anointing. Shasicha hi k'shtia, because anointing is like drinking. Shne'emar, the Pasuk says, b'atavo k'mai b'kir bo b'kashem b'atmo sa. The Pasuk says that it has entered into his body like water and like oil into his bones. V'ashtia b'chlal achila. And drinking is under the category of eating. With regards to all three of these, one is allowed to use them in the way that they're normally done. One can eat something which is normally eaten, drink something that's normally drinking, and to anoint something which is normally anointed. And therefore, one should not anoint oneself with wine or vinegar. However, he is allowed to anoint with pure oil. And he uses impure truma oil for kindling, for lighting fire. And this is what's referred to oil for burning in all contexts. With regard to the dates that are truma, one's able to gather them together and make them into a cake of dried dates. But as for lasos pam shechar, it's forbidden to make them into beer. And for that same rationale, we also don't make dates into honey, nor apples or wine, or various other items that grow in the fall into vinegar. And so too with all other fruit. We don't change them from their natural state by cases of truma, other than olives and grapes alone. If one violated this and turned the food into a type of liquid, so in that case, he should drink it. If a non-Kohen were to eat this honey from dates or the wine from apples or the like, and he did so inadvertently, he's not liable to pay. However, if he ate so on purpose, knowingly, willingly, then in that case he receives lashes on a rabbinic level. One's not supposed to put dried dates or dried figs into fish brine, because in that case you are destroying them. However, you are allowed to put wine into this brine. Also, one should not put various types of herbs inside of oil, because by doing so, you're taking it out of the category of food and you're making it into the oil used for anointing. However, you're allowed to mix wine or honey and pepper or anything like that in order to ultimately eat them. One's not supposed to cook wine of truma, because in doing so, you make it have less of the quantity there. Similar fashion as well, you're also not supposed to pickle onions, which are truma, in vinegar, which is truma, because by doing so, again, one is making the vinegar decrease. One's not supposed to mix together grain along with beans. And anything which are able to be separated once they've been put through a sieve, through a sifter, and in that case, you're allowed to mix them, because that's not really fully mixed. Once the land of Yehuda was defeated, it was destroyed, so the people began to mix together one type of grain with another one, one type of bean with another one, but they did not mix grains with beans still. In the same way in which we can sift regular flour, so too the Kohen sifts truma, which is flour. He sifts that which is fit for eating, and he can throw away the bran. If he wishes to sift it very, very fine to make the finest flour possible, so then he's still allowed to sift it many times until he creates a kav or two kav out of a sa's worth, but he shouldn't throw away that which is left over, because that's still fit for eating. Instead, he should put it aside and put it in a different spot. Halach above. Shemeshel truma ain chosen botan or kirai. With regards to oil of truma, one shouldn't use it to seal off a furnace or an oven. The ain sachin bo min al besandal. One also shouldn't use it to smear onto one's shoe or one's sandal. Lo yasoch raglo v'besoch min al besandal. And furthermore, one shouldn't even anoint one's own foot while it's inside of the shoe or the sandal. Aval sach es raglo v'lo v'shasamino. But he is allowed to anoint his foot and then afterwards put on the shoe. V'sach kol gufo umis agal agave ketof liyachadasha v'afal pi shehein nisochin eno choshesh. And in a similar fashion, he's also able to anoint his entire body and then roll on some leather mat that's still new. And even though in these cases, the shoe or the mat is going to end up being smeared and anointed with this oil, he doesn't have to be concerned about that. However, he shouldn't put oil on a marble tablet in order to roll upon it, because in that case, he's going to ruin it. Halacha Zayin. Kol ochol truma afilu peiros tzarech netilas yadayim. Anybody who consumes truma, even fruit, must first wash his hands, even though his hands were pure, as will be explained in its proper spot. And the one who is eating the truma also shouldn't eat along with somebody who's a non-kohen on a table, because there's a concern that he might come to eat from it. However, with regards to truma that came from outside of the land of Israel, that is allowed to be eaten on the same table as somebody who's a non-kohen, and it does not require the washing of one's hand, just as is true by mundane produce. One should not anoint himself with truma using hands that are dirty. If, however, some had fallen on his skin, then he is able to rub it in with dirty hands. One is allowed to put oil, which is truma, on an infant within the first 7 days after he's born, even though he's not yet circumcised, because a newborn who is not yet circumcised during those first 7 days of his life isn't considered to be an ara. Halacha ches. Sach hu ha-kohen atzmo v'shemen shel truma, or maybe ben bito Yisrael magilo agapa. A kohen is allowed to anoint himself with truma oil, and then he can have his daughter's son, who is a regular member of Klal Yisrael, come and roll on his back. He doesn't have to worry about that. And if he had put oil on himself and then entered into a bathhouse, somebody who's not a kohen is able to massage him in the bathhouse, even though the oil will ultimately be put onto him. If a daughter of a kohen had applied this particular type of produce on her hair, and it was truma, so somebody who's not a kohen is not allowed to take the rest of it and put it onto her hair. However, she could rub her hair on her hair and thereby benefit from it. Now, for what reason were they able to use this type of plant for truma in their hair? Rambam explains, because this is not something which is fit for human food. Halacha Yud. All these different types of items which are seemingly discarded are still going to be forbidden for people that are non-Kohanim if they were from Truma. And these include stems from different types of figs and peels of different types of melons and their insides and esrogim and cucumbers, even if they don't have any food left on them, and the ends of vegetables, which are normally thrown away by people that are preparing them. However, the ends of the vegetables, which are cut off by the gardeners, as opposed to the people inside of their home when they're preparing the vegetables, but these are cut off already out of the field, so those are permitted for those that are not kohanim. Klipei polen ushumshimen imyesh ben ochel asurin. The outside casing of a bean or sesame seeds, so those are going to be forbidden to non-Kohanim if they still have food within them. However, if they have no food left, then they are permitted to non-Kohanim. Halacha Yud Aleph. Gar'ini esrogim mutar. The seeds of esrogim are allowed to be eaten. Gar'ini zeisim utumarim v'charuvim afal pi shelo k'nasan ha-kohen ha'ilu asurin l'zar. The seeds of olives, dates, and carobs, by contrast, so even though those weren't collected by a kohen, are still going to be forbidden to a non-kohen. Now, with regards to all other seeds, so the general rule is as follows. If they were collected and still have some moisture inside of them to the point where they can still be sucked, so then they're forbidden to a non-kohen. But if they were thrown away, they are permitted to that non-kohen. Halach Yud Beis. Hasubin shachitim chadashos asurim b'nei shehu roi l'machal adam. Fresh bran is going to be forbidden because it's still fit for people to consume. However, if it was from older bran, then it is permitted. Now, what's considered fresh or what's considered old? So with regards to new, it's as long as people are used to beating that grain at the granary. That's when it still counts as new. Things that are poor quality or have already begun to rot, that are truma, those are forbidden. However, if they've got to the point where they're already creating dust from their rot, in that case, they're permitted. If one had dregs of grapes, which were truma, and one poured water over them to create some sort of fruity, flavored, like wine drink, so the first and second groups that one makes, the first batches, are going to be forbidden to non-kohanim. But the third one is going to be permitted, because that's not considered to be wine at that point. However, if one didn't pour water over them, but instead one had strained the wine off of those seeds, off of those dregs, then even the third straining is going to be forbidden to non-kohanim. If somebody had cleaned up kernels of wheat that were truma from a grain heap, then we don't insist that he sit and collect all of the other kernels one by one, and only after collecting them bring regular grain there. Instead, he's able to just sweep it in a normal fashion and then bring regular grain there. And similarly as well, with the jug of oil that was truma that had spilled, we don't insist that the owner go and sponge it all up until the earth is totally dry. Instead, he can just act as he would with regular oil that had spilled. Halacha tesva, ha'ma'ara kachal shemen truma, harizem ma'ara ad shiyivzok ha'amud, v'yaskala shemen lintov ma'ad ma'ad, v'kema shenat v'shlosh v'tipen zu achar zu, da'yo. Somebody is pouring out oil that was truma from one jug. So he should pour and pour until it's a straight stream that eventually stops. And then when it begins to drip, after three drops have dripped out, drip, 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 that's enough. Umutra litin bekad shemen chulin. And it's permitted at that point to put regular oil into that jug. If, however, he didn't do that, he did not place the regular oil there, and he just leaned the jug on the side until the remnants of the oil were collected together, those remnants still do have the status of truma, though, because ultimately they were from truma. A coin is allowed to fill up a lamp with oil, that was the type of oil that was impure oil, therefore was standing to be burned, and then give it to a non-kohen to go upstairs and go into a room in order to do things by this light that will be produced on behalf of the kohen, for his sake, but not for the sake of a non-kohen. Im hayu shutaf imo mutter. If they are partners, then it's going to be considered permitted. Halacha yud zayin. Yisrael shayu oreach ito kohen. Pehidlik lo shemen tzrifa. V'amana kohen v'halach lo. Eno chayv l'chaboso ad shakava me'ilav. If a non-kohen is a guest at a kohen's home, and the kohen had lit a fire to be burnt for him, and then he had gone out. So in that case, the non-kohen who's staying there as a guest doesn't need to put out that lamp, which was made, again, from this type of oil, which is impure truma, that a kohen's allowed to light. But instead, he can just let it burn out on its own. And in fact, this non-kohen is also even allowed to dip a wick into the lamp of the kohen and light it, so that way he can continue to use it once it's burning out. Halacha yud ches. Bekar shel kohen shehayu omed eitzo bekar shel Yisrael. Bekelev shel kohen shehayu nereg eitzo kelev shel Yisrael. Hari zeh malik alein shemen tzrifa shelo bershus kohen. If there was an animal of a kohen standing next to an animal of a non-kohen, or there was one garment of a kohen being sewn, being woven next to a garment of a non-kohen, then one is allowed to light this type of oil, this impure truma oil, which is standing to be burned, on behalf of somebody who's working on them, even though the kohen hadn't given consent. Similar fashion, one is allowed to light this type of oil in a shul, in a base medrash, in alleyways which are dark, even without any consent of a kohen. And somebody who doesn't have other oil available to light his mitzvah candles of Hanukkah can use this type of oil to light it even without any permission from a kohen. Malikin shem tzrifa agave achulin birushas kohen. One is allowed to light oil that is again standing to be burned on behalf of people that are sick with the consent of a kohen this time. Halachiyut tes ba'asin shoshin is the kohen v'hi lemuda it lavia malik birushusa. If there's the daughter of a regular member of Klai Yisrael who's married to a kohen, who frequently goes back to visit her father, who again is a non-Kohen, that non-Kohen is allowed to light some of this oil with her permission. Much for the Kohen, Lahadlik Shem and Sreifa, Afilu Beis Avel, Beis HaMishnah, She is Shem Irbav. It's permitted for a Kohen to light this type of oil in the home of a mourner or in a place where there's a wedding celebration, even though there's a lot of people there. We don't have to be concerned that they might come to take some of this oil and benefit from it in the wedding celebration, because they're all wearing fancy clothing and they don't want to touch this lamp, which will get them dirty. And in the place of mourning, they don't have to come and touch it because they're too busy focused on the morning. Halachav. Hazareas a truma b'shogi yahapich b'mezid yikayim. If one plants truma, which he wasn't supposed to do, if he did so inadvertently, so then he should turn it over and he won't suffer as big of a loss as if he had done so willfully, where he must maintain them, and ultimately he's only going to sell it for a cheaper price because it's going to have the status of truma. Heviyah shlish b'mezid b'mezid yikayim. If it had already reached a third of its development, then whether he had done so on purpose or whether he had done so inadvertently, then he must keep it. If, however, it was flax, even if it reached a third of its growth, and even if he had done so on purpose, so then he should turn it over. This was a special penalty which Chazal enacted, so that way he shouldn't plant it with the intent of benefiting from the fibers of the flax which will come out. Things which grow from truma are considered to be mundane with regards to all matters, except for the fact they're forbidden to non-Kohanim. Why? Chazal were the ones who enacted they should be forbidden to a non-Kohen, just as truma is. Why? Mishum truma tmeya should be yon-Kohen, shalish henet lo kishis rena, tezi lechulin, v'nim seba bali de tkala. Because we're concerned that if one was able to rectify the produce in this fashion, so if a Kohen had some impure truma, he might go to plant it, but he'll keep it around for a while before he actually plants it, and then it might come to be mistakenly used in a wrongful fashion. And therefore, it's permitted to consume these items with hands that are impure, or a person who has immersed in the mikvah that day, and as long as they're a Kohen, they're good to have it. Things that are grown from that which was grown from truma, that's considered like chulin with regards to all matters. Even with regards to the items where the seed that was planted isn't fully destroyed, it's not going to completely decompose in the ground, then in that case, as long as there's more of the produce being grown from them over that which was initially there, then in that case, that which has grown second can bring back the thing which was the initially planted item, which itself had grown directly from truma, and make that permitted to those that are non-Kohanim as well. And so too with regards to truma that came from outside the land of Israel, and truma that was mixed with regular produce, or extra truma, or seeds that had come from certain types of garden vegetables that aren't eaten, such as turnips or radishes. And even though the turnips and radishes were actually truma, the produce which grows from their seeds and all these other ones' seeds is like ordinary, mundane items with regards to all matters. And so too, if one plants flax of truma, so then that which grows from it is permitted to those who are non-Kohanim. If one planted truma, which was impure, then even though that which grows from them is pure, nonetheless, it's forbidden to eat them. And the basis for that is that since the truma that was planted was already forbidden to be eaten, so then it's already considered knocked aside, and that it will remain forbidden to be eaten. Somebody had cut off leaves that had grown, and then another set of leaves grew, and he cut those off as well, so then the produce that comes out afterward is permitted to be eaten. If something had been produce that was mundane, and it had become impure, and then it was planted, and then afterwards it was made truma, in that case it's permitted to be eaten. Why? Because these were made pure through the process of planting, and they hadn't become impure once they were truma to make them forbidden to eat. Lachava shibulah shahisa besoch kri umerach kri kulo hari osa shibulah is teva halvanimracha besoch kri. If there was a stalk of grain that was in the middle of a grain heap, and somebody had straightened out the edges of the grain heap, he had done the finishing process. In that case, the stalk is going to be considered tevel, because ultimately it was in that grain heap when it was straightened out. Shesalav achakach kara aleh Hashem vasa truma, harizu safik truma holds ra. If that stalk had been planted, and then it was singled out and was chosen to be truma, then in that case it's uncertain whether it's truma. Because ultimately in this case, since it had been planted, shema parach tevel imena benaseis kferos shadayin lo nigmaru. Once it was planted, we're concerned that maybe it had left the category of being tevel, and now it's considered like produce which hadn't yet had all its work completed. However, if you had made it into truma before it had been planted, so then it's considered truma. Therefore, if one had taken off from it and had consumed it willingly, knowingly, in that case, we'd be liable for death by the hands of heaven. If you had acted inadvertently, you'll have to pay the extra 25%. And if he had leaned over and eaten it while it was still attached to the ground, in that case, he's considered to be acting in an admirable fashion. His thinking here is disregarded, considering normal people. This is not the way people generally act. And therefore, he'll be exempt from the liability of death from the hands of heaven, and if he had acted inadvertently, he'll be exempt from having to pay the extra 25%. A field that had grown from truma has still all the obligations of leket, shecha, peah, and truma, and maestros, and maestro ani. And now, people that are poor, regular members of Klal Yisrael, and poor kohanim, can come and take these items, and the poor kohanim can eat everything that they get, and as for that which the poor, regular members of Klal Yisrael take, they can sell them to kohanim for the price of truma. And the same thing is true as well, v'chein ben levi mocher maestro shelo lekohanim. By a Levi, he also must sell that which is his to the Kohanim in that case. If somebody crushes this produce, then it's ideal. If a person crushes it using an animal, what should he do? He should tie a bucket around the animal's neck and then put the type of grain in it, the one that it's threshing. In that case, he won't be muzzling the animal, thereby violating a prohibition, and he also won't be feeding it truma. Have a wonderful day.